Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice who will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my favorite girl tonight?
Oh, pretty good, Cindy. And how are you?
Everything's good. I want to thank Andrew and a few of my other clients that came to the play in New York City. I loved my actors that did it. They did such a good job. And remember, I didn't get to see this until the same moment they did. So I was just as excited. And I want to thank the brilliant director, C. Kelly Wright, who she did just a great job. And it was really a fun and exciting event. And then I do want to let people know that I will be in Islip on November 18th at the Islip Art Council, which is in the mall. All the information's on Facebook, or you could go to my blog. It's on there, too, on Grant Me a Higher Love. But it's at 1 o'clock, and we'll be talking about everything you wanted to know about life after death. So I think that should be a fun event as well. I haven't talked that topic since February of 2020. That was my last one because COVID seemed to have shut down all the workshops. So it's been – so I can't believe how long it's been since I've done that workshop. So it's a little rusty in my mind, so I'm going to have to do my homework next week to get that one going. But it should be a good event. And we do have Andrew today. And Andrew – it did something quite momentous. I happen to know about it. I don't think many other people knew about it. And he ran the New York City Marathon without telling anyone. So I'm going to put Andrew on if he doesn't mind, because I think I'd like to hear his story, because so many people say they're going to do stuff and they never do it. Ever notice?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes, they do. And I have to say that I did know that Andrew ran the marathon for no other reason than I Facebook stalked him and I saw. So.
Right. And again, he, you know, and so many people say, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and they never do any of it. Andrew's a very old soul, so old souls have a little bit of an imposter syndrome. Sometimes they don't think they even want to tell people anything until it's done with, to make sure, you know, it went okay. But
exactly.
Let's see if Andrew will press one and tell us a little bit about his experience with it, because that's really quite an
important.
Oh, Mr. Andrew.
What's up?
Have you recovered?
Oh, I'm recovered. I'm not even sore. Like, my biggest my battle wound is, like, somehow on my big toe lifted the toenail off the skin. Somehow, I don't know how I did that. I didn't even realize it when I ran, but that's my only. Otherwise, like, I did yoga last night, hot yoga. Like, I'm good. I could run tomorrow. Yeah. So.
Wow. Now, how do you feel about, you know, this was on one of your bucket lists. Remember, this was the year of the dream catcher. So if you were going to do it, I would say this was a good year to do it.
Yeah. Originally, I actually qualified. I did they call it 9+1. So I got entry into 2019. But I had to deferred it to 20 because my Ironman race ended up being, like, pushed to 19 because of a hurricane. So, and then COVID, I had to pick one of 3 years. So, of course, it would end up in the dream catcher year. And it's not the way I envision it, because normally I'd be, like, a little trimmer, you know, faster, a lot of training. And I just like, you know what, I told myself, if I don't do it now, I don't know if when I'll get back in, because New York City is very hard to get in. You know, there's a lot of people try to get into that race. And, yeah, my parents didn't even know, till today that I did it.
Wow. Wow. Now, interesting, you know, old souls, we tend to have this imposter syndrome. So we overtrain, we overdo everything, overstudy, and then sometimes we're so burnt out by the time thing comes, we're stressed out. So I think there's a little lesson in, you know, you ride your bike and you run all along and you stay in shape and, you know, you do your thing. And that sometimes it's just take that leap of faith and do it and don't worry about it so much, because I think that does the most to undermine our success, is if we over-worry, overthink, then we're exhausted. It's like Nicole can probably relate to this. You know, on a day when you just have to do your makeup and your hair and it's no big deal, it comes out really good, and then you have a big event like a prom or a wedding, something you really want to look good for, all of a sudden you're like hell because you're so overstressing about it all. So,
that's the day you get the zit on the face and your forehead that you haven't had in like 20 years or something.
Right,
you know?
Of course. Of course. And then, of course, that's going to be the thing that's going to throw your whole day off, you know. So, Andrew, now that you've accomplished this, this is supposed to be sort of opening a vortex to you that this really is the year of the dream catcher. And it really is. Let's throw into the dream catcher, because for some people, their dream catcher year is coming to an end. Other people's, theirs just began, and they have a lot more, or hasn't even begun yet. They have a lot more time, you know, because it goes from one birthday to the next. But you've accomplished this, which is great. And let's throw in a few of, you know, more, a little, you know, more clients coming your way. Right?
Freedom.
Love.
Travel.
A home. A home. Okay, because we want to, like, be a little greedy in this year, because this is the year that's kind of a reward for people who've worked
very hard. I think that's kind of, actually, now that you say that, that's kind of the way I walk away from it, is, like, after the marathon, it's like, you know what, like, fuck, man, I just got to be greedy as, I don't want to say greedy as fuck, but, like, it's just like, you know what, like, all right, so you know what, in 2 weeks, I booked the London, too, right, all for myself. Just going, I'm going for Thanksgiving by myself to London, you know, fuck it. One of the other reasons I actually also defer the marathon to as far out as I could is because I always want to do it. I think, I wish I like had a love that could have been like there and along the journey and stuff. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Just do it. Why wait until some of the shit shows up, you know?
Right.
So,
and again,
just like,
you are a lover to yourself. That's the whole point. You didn't need to do this for anyone but you. And and that's the whole thing. Oftentimes, you know, sometimes we just want to do the things on our own without saying anything about it. And let's see what happens. And I like the way you wrote in your Facebook post. Sometimes, yes, if we do fail at something, it's harder to fail publicly or in front of people. By ourselves, we can usually deal with it. Okay, all right, didn't work. You know, but if we have to answer, well, we didn't finish, or we didn't get our goal, it's harder. But I think let's put that into the year 2024, that this is the year we're not going to worry if we fail or it doesn't go the way we want it to. We're just going to take those leap of faith. We're going to have the courage to try and not so much worry about the outcome always. Just give it a try. And that's what stops us a lot. You know, it's kind of anticipatory anxiety, stage fright. It's that imposter syndrome. All those things get in our way a lot. So, Nicole, this I'm sending to you too, okay, like really loud and clear. Let's just do all these things and not really, you know, worry so much about it or what people will say or if it doesn't go the way we want it to. You know, even when one of the worst possible things probably could happen to someone is being stranded at the altar. Could you imagine how humiliating that must be? You know, and I've known one asshole who did that to someone like when I was probably 22 or something. I was like, how could you do that? Have all these people there and you don't show up, you know, and thank God the family just said, we spent all this money at a party. We're having a party. The party went on, you know what I mean? But imagine that public humiliation and that kind of thing. These are things that we always fear that, you know, what will everyone think and do. But meanwhile, no one thought much about the woman. I mean, that it wasn't, we felt terrible for her. But everyone thought the guy was an idiot. And we all said, you know, you dodged a bullet. Anybody who would do that, like imagine being married to them. So, you know, just let's not worry so much about whatever people have to say and do. Can we all make that pact for 2024?
Sure.
How about you, Nicole? Are you on board for that?
Yeah.
Because mustering that courage will make all the difference. And, you know, how did your parents respond when they heard? Andrew, were they excited?
They were like, at first my dad's like, nah, he probably just went and walked. Oh, shit, he ran. Like, yeah, they were like, you know, they were understanding. They're like, you know what, that's fine. They wish they could. They're like, we would have came and watched you. We would have supported you no matter what. But, you know, again.
And you know you were supposed to do it this year because even with my play, it was so funny that when I was asking if you wanted to go, but I didn't really want you to go into New York City just for that. And then that's when you fessed up that you were going to do the marathon and that you'll book an extra night. Okay.
Yep.
And the synchronicity, Andrew, tell them in relationship to the theater, where was your hotel that you had booked?
It was
the theater was.
It was like 30 yards diagonally across the street.
If that wasn't Spirit saying he was meant to be here in this marathon, when you told me that, I said, there's no way he's not going to finish. Like, I knew that. Yeah. That was like, to me, wow, the heads up. And, you know, sometimes with people, you know, I'll know with clients they're doing something. They either run, you know, they're running for an office or they're doing, you know, they're for their union or whatever. And I'll know they're not going to get it. I'm not going to tell them that because you want them to give it their all. But I'm not surprised when they don't get it. I had the same hit with you. Oh, he's doing this. You know, there's no way he's not doing it. So
And I never asked you about it, you know, at all.
Oh, but you know, but think about that. That has to be the little bit of signal that, you know, and you know, I was so more excited about it because I've never actually been in New York City when there was going to be a marathon. We had left that Saturday. We didn't stay for the Sunday, but we got to walk through Central Park, the whole, you know, the route where people would go to the finish line. So I found it interesting that I got to see something I've never seen in my life, like where they let finish and all of that. So I kept thinking, Andrew's going to be here. He's going to be here.
Nope.
So notice that Andrew's victory is really a victory for everyone because he did it for himself, okay, and that's the most important. He did it for himself. So that's why I wanted you to get on and tell your story because it's so interesting. And, you know, everyone loves it. You got so many responses on Facebook to your marathon. Do you see all those, how many comments, how many responses?
Yeah, I wrote back to everybody that wrote. I didn't get to yours. I just got to yours when you.
Wow. And you're going to keep getting those for days because that's the kind of post that Facebook will keep up. You know,
I mean, my mom was just like, she's like, I love how you write. She's like, you know, I love how you shared your story. You know, that she was touched by that. You know, I think they understood where I came from and why I did what I did and, you know, all that. So, I mean, honestly, for people that don't know, me and my brother share a house together. My brother and his wife didn't know. And the wife they knew I had a bib, but they thought I sold it. They thought I just went hiking for the weekend. And they're like, oh, Andrew crossed the start line. And my brother was like, nah, he probably sold his bib, whatever. And he was at mile 7 waiting for friends to come through. And he's like, oh, no, he's in the race. Surprise. And I didn't see them at mile 7. I saw them at 17. They're like, oh, surprise. So that's how good of a secret I kept.
Well, I'm so proud of you for that. That's amazing. That's wonderful. So I'm glad you came on. And I also want to, I see Jean Steele is listening. And this week, you know, TJ just realized, you know, we have this wonderful crochet blanket from Jean. And, of course, Nicole has that. and we have our little huggy bears, and that she crocheted.
Love those bears.
And TJ, we saw her little post on Facebook that she was being a craft fair, and he saw all those things, and he realized, wow. So he wrote a little patch article about her, and it's on the Comac patch, and you could look at it because it tells where you can buy these things from Jean. So I just thought it was interesting. It didn't, and I wanted Jean to know that was not my idea for TJ to do that. He just decided to do it all by himself. So anyone who needs some unique gifts for people, Jean Steele has some wonderful, wonderful gifts. So that's a wonderful thing too. So let's see if we can get to some callers. I don't know. I don't think Nicole screened anyone yet because I wanted her to listen to Andrew. So,
yep, I did not screen anyone yet. You are correct.
Okie dokie. So let's see if we mute Andrew so that he can relax in the comfort of his home or wherever he may be at the over, I'll take Jimmy first because we know who he is, and then you could screen the 619 number, okay?
Yep, I got you.
And if you want to talk to us, you do have to press 1, okay? So I'm going to get Jimmy while you screen the next caller. Hi, Jimmy. How are you doing tonight?
His mic is not on yet. And actually, for those of you who do want to speak to Cindy or I tonight, please just remember that when we do not know who you are, you will always be identified by the last 4 digits of your phone number. That includes inside of the chat room. So when you hear those last 4 digits, please answer me so I'm not sitting in there talking to myself. All right, so here we go. Out to Jimmy first, and then I'm going to jump in the chat room. Hello, Jimmy. You're on the air.
Oh. Hello.
That's a nice hello, Jimmy. I like that hello. Okay, so what's happening in Jimmy's world?
Not much. So I did get hurt, as you're aware, Cindy. So I'm taking it easy. But I like what Andrew was saying about, you know, being greedy, because it is the dream catcher year and all that stuff. So I'm asking my guides for a little bit more just because of that, because I feel like maybe I wasn't asking for enough. But yeah.
Right. And
as for
How are you feeling actually?
I'm still in a little bit of pain. There's some swelling and, you know, it's not pleasant. So.
And now, sometimes when we get hurt, like, we got to think, is there a cosmic message in here?
There definitely was.
Okay.
There definitely was a reason, but, you know, I mean, I don't really want to talk about that particular reason.
No, but you did see the reason. And also sometimes God just slows us down a little bit. So, you know, when we say it slowed down a little bit, it may be that we're not on the right path exactly. And now that we have a little more downtime or slowed time, like, let's get ourselves on the right path. So I want you to use this time wisely, you know, that you're not running around as much as usual. And, you know, everything looks good in your cards. So it looks like you will make a good recovery from this. You know, it's going to take a little bit. And, you know, and I'm glad that, you know, you're taking it in good spirits is what your grandparents are saying, okay, especially your grandma. She goes, he's doing it in good spirits. He's doing well under the circumstances. Also, it does look like a new job in the future for you, so I would kind of work on that, focus on that a little bit.
Okay.
Getting those resumes out and, you know, don't get discouraged because, you know, sometimes it just makes us, you know, dream a little bigger this time. That's what we have to do. And, you know, thanks for calling in, Jimmy, and keep us posted and let me know how you're feeling. Okay.
I'm
glad you sound good, though. Your voice sounds good. You know, you have that smile in your voice again, which you didn't have the last couple of times after you got hurt.
It wasn't
the smile in your voice. Well, good luck to him. We're going to try to get another caller. Bye.
Okay.
Nicole, I'm going to have you. I can never mute for some reason. It's like, I have no idea what that's about. So maybe Nicole will mute Jimmy, and we'll pick up Anne. Okay, Nicole, are you there? Okay, I think she may still be in the chat room with Anne. Okay. All right, so let me see if I can
get Anne. I'm here, I'm here.
Okay. So
I saw the little flag that Jimmy dropped. So, okay, so we have a first-time caller right now, Cindy, and her name is Anne, and she is calling us from California. And basically, you know, she saw something about you, Cindy, and, you know, she looked up and she saved the date, and now here she is as our first-time caller for this week. And she needs a little bit of advice, Cindy. She's got a kind of new relationship, and she saw that you were the romance whisperer. So she wants you to do your thing and see what the cards say about her and this kind of new relationship. So here we go out to Anne in California. Hello, Anne. You're on the air.
I'm here. Hi, Cindy. Hi.
Hi, Anne. I'm going to give you a big round of applause for having Nicole say the romance whisper because that's my trademark, and I had to renew my trademark, and I don't do it with a lawyer, and I have to do it myself, and it's always gets me all nervous, and it's really not hard. Like it takes about 10 minutes once you figure it out. But so I'm so glad she said the romance whisper. I think it's almost a cosmic joke because it just got renewed like yesterday. So I think the spirit wanted me to know, yep, it's a good title. So Anne, you have a new relationship. That's good. And is it a relationship? It's not a situationship. Are you in a committed relationship?
No, it's not. It's not. We're just kind of acquaintances now. I'm hoping for a relationship. I call it relationship, but in reality, it's more like acquaintances. Sometimes we meet, we talk. We're not dating yet. I think I like the person. I think the person likes me. And I was wondering if there will be actually a romantic development because I'm going to see the person again in a few days.
Okay. Now, I definitely see there's, you know, attraction. And you know, this is a good person here. A little bits of commitment issues. I think the person's been hurt and a little afraid to go forward. Are you a little afraid too?
I am shy and I will not make a first step because, you know, I'm traditional and I always think if man is interested, he has to say something. I wouldn't do this. And plus, I do not want to ruin, you know, kind of friendship, light friendship, and do something if he will make any moves to date me.
That's fine. I'm scared, okay? So
I'm scared too, yeah.
Okay, that, you know, it's funny because that's what I thought. I thought he's scared, she's scared, and this may not move forward very easily if somebody doesn't muster up a little courage. So you don't have to make the first move, but I think you have to give a little more signs and signals that you're interested. Do you know what I mean? To him, you're a good catch, by the way, and you know, he likes you as a person first and foremost. Okay, you know.
I like him too as a person.
No, he's a nice person. I got good cards on him. He's like, I got the King of Swords and the King of Pentacles, which is a man who's worked hard, and you know, he's a trustworthy man here. I just see that he's been hurt. Have you talked about any of your relationships with each other?
No, we have conversations. We keep everything very light, and we do not discuss any relationships. He doesn't discuss, and I do not ask, and I don't know if I even allowed to do this.
Right. You might want to get a little more personal in your conversations because, you know, the thing about here, we talk about staying in a friend zone too long. It's never good to stay in that friend zone too long because then it's hard to make the leap to the next level. And especially if you do become good friends, then nobody wants to risk screwing up this whole thing. So and he looks a little shy here also.
He's shy. He's
yep.
shy also.
Now it's like two shy people. Oh, man, okay. I actually think he's shyer than you are, by the way, so if you could maybe give a little signs that, you know, that you're interested, and are we here? still?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I'm listening.
I sent a note saying the show is you know, the show is going to drop, so I got scared for a minute. That was weird.
I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good, because it said the show is going to end. But there's a problem. We're going to end the show. Like,
no,
huh?
I fixed it.
Okay, good. Thank God, because I was like, but Aaron, what I see is he likes you. Now, how did you meet him, by the way? Did you meet him going about your life?
Professionally. That's why this is the only reason that I do not want to be too strong, because I can lose professional relationship and I can lose friendship, and I have to be very careful.
Right. That's what I saw here, too, that he's a little afraid of that, too, especially a man nowadays, because, you know, with hashtag Me Too, men are losing their careers because, you know, they ask a person out or whatever. That's, you know, normally you do meet people at work. So I think he's a little more fearful of that. You know, see how it goes. Maybe if you meet with him one or two more times, you could drop a little more of a hint, okay? Because, you know, does he know you're single, by the way? Does he know that?
He looked at my hands. He knows I don't have a ring. But about him, I'm not sure. Someone told me he may be not single, and I don't know for sure either.
Okay, now
I
that's
cannot
another
ask him
question.
This question.
You called to our show, and we always have a thing that women have to ask, you know, a man. You know, do you have a girlfriend? Do you have someone who thinks they're your girlfriend? Does your wife know you're single? You know, you can say it funny, but you might want to get that out here, too, because, you know, if he is married or in a relationship, that's not good, you know, and you're not sure yet, right, on this?
Yeah, because no one knows in the office for sure, and I cannot ask him this question. Hi, are you single or not? This is like, this
no, but that's
much,
a question.
I
now, think about this. When you meet someone on a bus, okay, if you met me on a bus and we were sitting next to each other, within 2 minutes you'd say, are you married, you have kids? That's like a normal conversation. I don't understand why when we like someone, it's not normal conversation. And we do have the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving, and this is a perfect time to say, oh, you're going to be spending Thanksgiving with your wife or your family?
Yeah, you know? Okay, maybe it's a good idea to
ask. Okay, and I'll tell you the funny story. We tell in the story on this radio show every once in a while. One of my clients used to meet this man every day in the deli in the morning in New York City, and saw him every day for like a year, and they would talk, and she was really, you know, infatuated with him and the whole bit. And I kept saying, do you know if he's even available? Because it doesn't look like it to me. Well, I think he is. I said, that's not good enough for me. I said, it was right around Christmas time, and I said, you're going to ask him, are you spending Christmas with your wife and kids? And you know what his answer was? Yes, I'm spending Christmas with my wife and kids. Can you see, it's a simple question that you could work in quite naturally to the conversation. I'm not so sure that just that you don't have a ring on your hand doesn't mean you're not living with someone or you don't have a boyfriend. I don't think he's sure about you either. So
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You know, even though you don't have a ring on your finger, I'm not sure that he knows that you're available either. You could have a boyfriend. You know, you could have a live-in, you could have anything. So, you know, maybe moving it a little more toward, like, telling what you're doing for Thanksgiving or whatever, and, you know, kind of working in that you don't have a husband, okay? Just so that, because that kind of lets both of you know and, you know, oh, okay, and it talks a little bit more personally, but it's nothing that you wouldn't talk to with anyone else. You know, just get that out there. You know, he seems to like you very much. You know, he finds your company, he enjoys it. But, you know, at this point, you know, I'm glad you called in, because anyone who's meeting someone or at work and they're starting to talk, you really need to get these things out in the open, because it could cause a problem, you know, especially if you don't know if someone's married or in a relationship. You could, you know, maybe let your heart go deeper than you would if you knew that they were already, you know, taken. So, and I want you to use this as an, because this is the year of the soulmate. When's your birthday? Just the month and the day.
May 30th.
Okay, so your dream catcher year starts
started with May 30th, and that goes from May 30th, 2023 to May 30th, 2024. And the universe would love you to be in a relationship between now and then. So it's maybe getting a little comfortable in this situation of just how do you ask questions with people and, you know, how do you open up a dialogue. And, you know, if no one knows too much about him at work, you know, it's either he's shy or he's very private or who knows, do you know what I mean? So just ask the question a little bit and don't be afraid, because what he's doing, if nothing else, even if he's just a transition soulmate or a transition person, he's making you aware that you would like a relationship. Isn't that kind of stirring up in you?
I cannot tell you. I just know that we have mutual chemistry, but he doesn't say anything else.
Okay, and this is like a little bit, you know, men like women to put their cards on the table. So kind of just let him know who you are. You talk a little more personally, too. Don't be afraid to do that. And, you know, I could see he's very intrigued by you. But at this point, it's opening you up to the fact that you would like a relationship, whether it's with him or someone else. So it's all good here. You know, again, he seems like a nice man and a nice guy. You know, he looks like he's drawn to you. But these are things that, you know, asking these questions with anybody is something, you know, everyone should do, like, you know, what's going on in your life and who's in your life and all of that. Can you do us a favor and call in again and let us know what you discover? And
sure.
Don't be afraid to just talk a little personally, because maybe he's afraid to talk personally because you haven't. So you don't know.
Cindy, may I please ask you before we finish, may I ask
sure.
you like really quick question? Because
sure,
this is kind of strange coincidence. And just, you know, in the last maybe four or five weeks, someone from my past, my ex-boyfriend, started texting and emailing me very often. Do you know what is his intention? Because in reality, we were kind of friends and chatting, you know, on Christmas, maybe once, twice a year, but this time he sends me long emails. I don't know what is his intention, but he doesn't call me. He only emails me.
Okay, yeah, that's a commitment phobic. They don't want to talk to us or look at us because they could melt, and, you know, and he's another commitment phobic. So I'm, you know, and the way you ask what's your intention is what you need to ask him in the emails. What's your intention in these emails? You need to ask him, you know, call him on this. You know, first of all, you know, people that have a connection are very telepathic, and it looks to me like you're going to be brought a soulmate, whether it's this man we're talking about now or someone else. The other guy kind of senses you're going to be moving on. So he's doing what we call in the dating world breadcrumbing you. He's just throwing you some breadcrumbs to see, you know, if he's still got you and, you know, but nothing might move forward. But I would say we've got two relationships here that show commitment issues. That usually reflects on the fact that you're a closet commitment phobic. You know, you want love, but you're scared. And you're going to only keep gravitating to commitment phobics if you don't deal with your own fact of why you might be afraid of commitment. It could be because you've gotten hurt. You know, it could be our fear of loving someone who could die on us. We don't want to open our heart to that. It could be shyness is just your fear. But can you, like, meditate a little bit on the fact that you have some commitment issues yourself?
Well, I don't know. If it were the right person, maybe I wouldn't be commitment, you know. I just didn't meet the right person lately, and this ex-boyfriend, you know, we stay friends in reality. Even if I ask him, what is your intention, he'll tell me, listen, we're friends. Why are you asking? Because we do exchange emails a couple times a year, maybe three times a year.
But you yourself know that he's doing it more than he was. There's a change here.
He's doing more, and he's sending much longer emails, like a page long. And I cannot understand what is. Is this something, is he lonely? Is he upset?
Well, it looks like he's lonely, and he's also just trying to see if he's still got you, if there's any hope, and, you know, things like that. And, you know, these are things that it's hard if people are just not open and honest. And I, you know, we always advocate here just asking people, asking them, are you single? Are you married? Ask them, what's your intention? What's going on here? It saves like months and months and months of nonsense, by the way. You know, and if the person doesn't like that you've asked that, that really shows they're either control freaks or they want to control everything or they got issues. Because if you're only asking in a nice way, why shouldn't someone want to answer you and let you know? I mean, it's yeah, the ex still looks like he has feelings for you, by the way. So
maybe he does, but I don't know what is his situation either. And honestly, I do not. He's probably the only one friend that I have left from my past, and I do not want to lose him either because, you know, no matter what, we still communicate, we exchange cards, we talk about life. So I do not want to be, you know, like either this way or that way. And if you're interested, then email me. If you're single, then I don't want to even to put this way. Then it's okay maybe to communicate.
Okay, then if you don't mind it, just leave it the way it is. Do you know what I mean? But you can see it is making you wonder what's his intention and what's he up to. The human nature is to do that. Do you know what I mean? To like think about, is there more here? But if you're not interested in having more with him, then you know, let it be. You know, and.
Yeah, probably not interested in more than, I just thought maybe what the cards say about his intention, but it's okay, I can leave
no,
it.
No, it looks like he senses that you're going to be moving on. He just knows that you're going to be given a soulmate or life's going to change. And it's usually a good signal when an ex kind of comes back like that because they telepathically know she's going to be moving on. So I'm going to look at it as a signal that he knows something, he's hearing something in the air. This woman's going to be finding her, you know, the love of her life now. And, you know, and I think he likes thinking that you're still available in case he ever, you know, wanted to come back or whatever.
Well, that's interesting.
He's covering all his bases here. Well, thank you for calling in and call in again and let us know what you've discovered.
Sure, I will. Thank you, Cindy. It was
you're such a delightful woman.
Talking to you.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, Nicole, that was an interesting one. It seems to be the wave of the 21st century. Nobody knows what anything is. You know, what are we? Who are we? You know?
Exactly.
And again, just asking the questions is really the best thing to do. You'd be surprised when I said do it. It saves them, you know, months of whatever. You have to figure so much out, you know. You know, life shouldn't be that hard and that complicated, and love certainly shouldn't be either.
You should just go back to the way that it was in high school when somebody would just pass you a note. Will you be my girlfriend? Yes.
Yep.
Will you be my girlfriend? Circle yes or no.
And it didn't mean they were going to marry
you. Leave it in my locker. That's it.
And it didn't mean
so
you were marrying
you. Will you be my boyfriend? Yes.
Right. But you weren't marrying them, you know. It didn't mean you were getting married.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, remember, we always have to say on this show, our motto is you don't need a prenup to get a cup of coffee, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Nor do you need a prenup to express that you like somebody, okay? Like, you know, if you like somebody, tell them. Children do it all the time. You need a one-year-old, a two-year-old, a three-year-old. They'll tell you they love you in 5 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Like, wow, I love you. Like, we get a little bit uptight with just letting people know when we like them. And, you know, and it shouldn't be such a have to figure this all out. It's like too much work. Isn't it too much work?
It's way too much work.
It's way too much work, especially when you get older. You have other things to do besides wondering, does he like me? Does he not like me? Does she like me? Does she not like me? You know, so.
Yep.
Now, we had Valerie. Did we ever read her before?
Yes, actually. Valerie called in, I'm going to say probably about a year ago. She was a little foggy on it as well. But she did call about a year ago, and she asked, a job question. And now here she is, you know, almost a year later, and she's got a relationship question. And it's really more of, a reconnection
that she's got a question about. But just to be clear, Cindy, this is not like a lover sort of thing. She is completely good with the friendship thing. And in her words, some people are just better off friends than anything else. So
what is
go.
The actual question? Because if they're happy being friends, is there a question?
Oh, yes, there is a question. I'm going to let Valerie ask it. Hello,
okay,
Valerie. You are on the air.
Hi, how are you? I love the way you commentated that. That was great.
I know. Isn't she the best? That's why she does that and not me, because she's much better.
I couldn't do it. I'd be fumbling every other word if I was trying to do that for people.
Me too. I'd be fired. Get rid of this lady. She's bad. I love your voice, Valerie, by the way. I love that voice. You could talk as long as you want. I love your voice. Okay. So.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so there's someone from my past. Long history, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. And I just kind of wonder what's going on with him, how he's doing on a mental level. We all know guys are crazy, but no, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. And, you know, the last few times I've seen him, it's been a little hostile. But I just wonder if at some point we can maybe reconnect as genuine friends. I'm not looking for him in any other way.
Okay. Were you ever more than just friends?
Yes.
Okay, because sometimes it's tricky when you've been lovers to be friends. It's not actually the same ladder, like the ladder of romantic love is one, the ladder of friendship.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They're hard to interchange. Sometimes we have to, if we have children with someone, we have no choice but to try to bridge those two ladders, okay?
Right.
But I see from in the cards, you know, I'm not so sure he's totally over you, you know, in the romantic way. And I think when he, you know, sometimes he pulls away from you. You know, just, you know, as you get close, he gets a little scared and pulls away.
Okay.
You know, you don't have any romantic feelings left for him?
No, but I mean, he was on to someone else for years on and off.
Right. And again, I see that he has like some feelings still for you. So sometimes he just pulls away, from it. He also, you know, knows that, you know, he's probably screwed this up, you know, your romantic side of it. You know, I would just be a little patient with him. Have you, you know, let him know that you miss being friends with him, that, you know, you want.
He's very hostile.
Yeah. I mean, the guy, I'm not loving the cards on him at some level because I keep getting the devil card, which is he tends to make relationships toxic, okay? Like, or they become toxic. And maybe it's his anger issues, but he doesn't really see that he's the one that makes these worse. And, you know, him doing that to you, being hostile, that's not really acceptable.
Well, that's why I'm putting boundaries in play. Like, I won't accept hostility from anyone ever, like, ever. You know, like, you grow up, you learn certain things. Okay, we can be friends. Here are the boundaries. And as far as if he and I reconnect on a friend level, okay, great, you're a fun person. You love your company, but here are the boundaries.
Right. And, you know, it's hard for him because he's the one that usually draws the boundaries or lack of them, okay? And he's not really comfortable with someone who knows boundary issues, by the way. I mean, his last relationship was like it didn't end well. Did he talk to you about it?
I haven't talked to him in quite a while because the last so many times I've seen him, it's been hostile.
Right, and that's why he's still got the baggage from that. And I got, you know, it's sad because the cards, you know, I also got, there's a card of a man that doesn't play fair, and that's, the Seven of Swords. I got that on him. You know, when people get a certain age, it's, you know, how old is this guy at this point?
58, 59.
Yeah, people get over the age of 50. That's what I thought he was over the age of 50. And as they get closer to 60, They hit a reset button. They don't want to learn anything. They don't want to be nice anymore. They just want to do what they want to do. He's got traits of an unfixable that we call on the show. He can be manipulative, judgmental, not accountable. I'm not sure you're going to have that friendship with him because that ship may have sailed. You know, certain people just decide they're not going to be a nice person anymore. That's hard for you to wrap your head around, isn't it? That people get so bitter or whatever about life, I'm just gonna, you know, do my thing and be who I want to be. So, you know, also I would say I could talk to any soul living or dead, so I kind of try to zoom into his soul a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he's in such a negative, toxic, cellmate-type relationship where everything he touches becomes toxic. It looks to me like this sort of ghosting or abandonment or keeping you at bay is to kind of not do it to you because you are a nice person. So, okay. You know, maybe give him some airspace, but, you know, he just looks like a miserable human being, by the way.
I think right now he might be.
Right, and he's got a lot of anxiety and all of that. I know it's painful because, you know, sometimes we want that, but friends, you normally do not do toxic behaviors with each other or hostile. That
right.
Usually shows that his emotions here are a little more loaded than he may admit here. And, you know, I would just, and there's a lot of extremes of moods here. Do you know him to ever abuse drugs or alcohol or prescriptions, drugs or anything?
No, he's not an abuser of prescriptions. He's a casual drinker, and he does like to smoke, not cigarettes. I don't consider that really a drug. I think that's God's drug.
I've watched people smoke pot for 50 years. It makes people, they think they're mellow, but they're not. It makes people extremely uptight when they're chronic pot smokers. But, you know, not everyone, but if you have OCD tendencies, if you have negative tendencies, it makes it worse long term. And it's the moodiness and the nastiness. Like, my feelings are, if you're going to smoke pot every day, for God's sake, be nice. Okay, and you're going to be a nasty pot smoker, but, you know, again, I've lived long enough to watch 50 years of pot smoking from certain people. It is not good on a day-to-day basis.
I used to tell them, will you go get high to be nice? I mean, it jokingly, just go smoke.
So what happens when they crash down from it? Not good. So I see a lot more pot smoking. He's not happy. He's in a miserable space. So for now, let's let this go so that you don't get caught in whatever shitstorm he's having right now, because it doesn't look like he's, like, if you were to contact him today or tomorrow, it doesn't look like he's in a good mindset, and maybe not for the near future.
Okay.
So.
All right. Not tomorrow, not next week, but will there, I guess, come a point when, you know, because I do worry about him for different reasons. And
I see that.
I am, to my friends, I'm a genuine friend, and I believe he is as well. But he, with the situation he's been going through with someone on and off and on and off, and I know that's brought him a lot of misery, and, you know, I would like to know that she's just gone from his life for good, for his own sake.
Well, you know, toxic love is extremely addictive.
I know.
If you go back for more. So their true cellmate love that ends in a courtroom, a jail, a morgue, or an emergency room, it's ugly here. And, you know, that kind of day in and day out after a while does get to you and wears you down. And, you know, I don't see that she's out of the picture here. You know, I mean, she may be, you know, out temporarily, but doesn't look for, you know, like she's really out for good yet. So,
okay.
You know, back off a little bit. It looks like he will contact you in the future, maybe, you know, let's hope sooner than later. But right now, I wouldn't be the one to contact him, because if you catch him in a mood, you don't want to hear his abuse.
I'm sorry. I'm there.
You know what I mean? You don't want to, you just have to catch him in a moment where he's not in a good mood, you know, at all.
Right.
But his moodiness looks off the charts here, by the way. You know, the latest on chronic pot smoking is they don't know if people were mentally ill before they started smoking pot, or they become mentally ill. You know, chronic pot smoking. Okay,
like
chronic alcoholism. You drink every
day.
You know what I mean? It's things in moderation. I mean, like, moderation.
Right.
And also, the marijuana that's out now is not what it used to be 40 years
ago.
No. You know, I remember smoking a handful of times when I was, you know, a teenager. I didn't even get high. It was so mellow. It just irritated my throat. Now, people tell me it knocks you off. And the edibles are landing people in emergency rooms, which makes me question what's in them. Because marijuana would never land you in an emergency room. So, I mean, it's kind of strange, the whole thing. But with him, I really see the moodiness is deep here right now. And, you know, maybe he'll call you on one of his good days.
Okay. I mean, I might fall over if he calls, but I just, like I said, I just want to make sure he's okay.
I mean, what
he
I just see is moodiness.
That.
It's not. I don't think there's anything worse than it's been there for a while. Do you know what I mean? It's just general moodiness. But and there's a low level of depression. You know, there's a depression in these cards showing too. He's, you know, depressed. Again, reaching out to him right now, I would say, isn't going to work in your favor, because, you know, you want to be there for him, but there's a dysfunctional triangle called rescue a persecutor victim.
Mm-hmm.
If you call him up, try to rescue him right now, you might be victimized by him and persecuted. So I would spare myself from that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not pleasant when you're trying to be nice and somebody starts screaming at you or persecuting you or being nasty. It's not good. It's not good.
No, that is not good. Nobody deserves that.
No, not at all. Well, I'm glad you called in, because I think
it's not
uncommon for people to be, you know, wondering about friendships and is it ever going to come back again and where it will be. And it's always hard, you know, because, you know, like you said, when he's good, he's so good, I can see. But when he's bad, I think he's so bad here.
May I ask? I don't know if I'm able to ask one last thing.
Of course.
Thank you. This is something different, though, so I want to be.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I had a job interview on Monday, and I just want to see if you feel I got the job or when I should hear.
Okay, good. That's the good news, is that, you know, you had a job interview.
Looks like you had
a lot of stiff competition. Do you know that?
I didn't know that. I mean, I don't mean that sarcastically, no.
There's a lot. You know, so far you're still in the running here. You know, it looks good. And did you just have one interview so far?
I had an interview, and then I was asked to go back in shadow for 2 hours, which they usually ask everybody to go back to shadow to see if you like, what, you know, is this for you? Is it? But when I went back to shadow, I only shadowed for 45 minutes. I mean, that wasn't my call.
Right. Okay. You know, it still looks like you're in the running. They look like they, you know, they have another person, or, you know, that they're considering. So it's still up in the air. It's not decided, you know, exactly yet. And again, just because it's up between you and another person doesn't mean, you know, sometimes a person tries and they don't like it. You know what I mean? So I would say odds look pretty good here of this job. It's just that you have they just had, you know, some good candidates, and you're one of them too. So, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, keep.
There are two positions.
Okay,
one is for full time, and one is for part time.
And which did you want?
The part time.
Oh, you wanted the part time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that looks a little more doable than the full time showed up. Good. So good. That's good. It looks good for you.
It does.
And again, you would think for a part-time job, it wouldn't be so competitive, you know. Everybody wants this one, but just keep I would also keep job hunting. You're doing that too.
Oh, yeah.
I would tell
people,
until you get some in writing, keep looking.
That makes sense. Yeah. When should I hear back either way, just so I kind of have a heads up?
It could be any day now. It might not be tomorrow since it's already Friday.
Tomorrow is Friday. This week flew by.
Yeah, no. All of a sudden I thought the same thing. I said, is tomorrow Friday? Yeah. So it might be sometime more toward the beginning of next week, you should hear.
Okay.
Because I think that it's funny because there's a lot of people in your favor that want you. And, you know, there's one person unsure. So maybe that, you know, think on it this weekend kind of thing.
Okay. Okay, good, good. Well, my friend does work there, so she's like, use my name. So
that was good. That was good. It's always good because if someone, like, works there and can give a name and they can vouch for you a little bit, that can steer it in your direction if it was, like, not totally sure one way or the other. So that's good. That's always a good thing. So.
Excellent. You've been wonderful, and I'm sorry if I held you up.
Let us know what happens, and let us know with your friend, and we'll pray that he sees the light and be nice to you, please. You know?
Thank you.
Please be nice to
Valerie. I want him to be nice to himself a little bit.
I know, that's
true.
Good night. Enjoy your evening.
You too. God bless. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Nicole, I'm sure I'm like the one person in America that's so anti-pot, only because what I have seen for 50 years. I tell people, live as long as I do and watch 50-year pot. Okay.
But you know what, though? You have a very good point. And actually, there's a funny comedy horror movie that is out right now. It's called Totally Killer. And it's kind of like a cross between Scream meets Back to the Future type of thing. And it's a very, very funny movie, and it's what's hysterical about it is that the girl that goes back in time, she's noticing all of the differences, how lenient things were back then, and you know, different things that were acceptable back then are no longer acceptable now. And she's like, you know, she's looking, she goes, oh yeah, there's the racism and there's the this and there's that. And she's, you know, doing this actual commentary on, you know, on that period, you know, which is the late 80s that she has traveled back to. And at one point in the movie, you know, this one girl is completely high. And she's like, and then the high girl looks at the other girl, and she goes to the girl from the future and says, dude, you are like so harshing my vibe. You need to have a brownie. And the girl's like, I've had 5 of them. She's like, then why are you like that? And she's like, there's pot in those brownies. She's like, yeah, like, and she's like, oh my God. She's like, this is crap. She goes, where I come from, I can have a gummy this big and it would have 10 times more pot than all of those brownies. But it's true. Like, to make the commentary of what you did back then, weed was different. They do so many more things to, you know, to it now that makes it a little bit, you know, maybe more addictive than it was back then or more potent than it was back then. You know, it's just, it's a
and
completely
lands you in
different...
an emergency with a panic attack, okay?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it does, you know, they're cutting drugs with rat poison these days, you know, and then they're wondering why people are so addicted, you know. I mean, it really, really is. So you have a valid point there, you know, which was my whole point.
And
I'm
just
was
saying,
just that,
like,
you know, it's a pot is different now than it was back then.
It certainly is. And I have a lot of clients, and let me tell you, the number of people, the ones that have taken gummies and landed in emergency rooms is astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
So yep. I'm like, what's in that stuff? I can't be pot. Because, you know, you don't go to the emergency room from pot, you know. So it's just a little odd and strange. And also, I'm a firm believer this is a capitalist culture, and they want your money, and they want you hooked on something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, be careful with, you know, be careful, you know. Nobody's doing you any benefits by legalizing things or making gambling so easy for you, or alcohol available every second, or food door-dashed every minute. This is not for your benefit. Okay? This is to make someone rich. So,
yes.
You know, let's go back to a little moderation in life. is my motto. A little moderation, please. Well, we're at the
Absolutely.
End of our show. Thank
we
you
are.
So much. Thanks for all our callers. We had a really nice, some new people we haven't read before, and some old ones. We shouldn't use the word old, but some people that are regulars. So good night, everybody. Also, we don't have a show on Thanksgiving. Okay, that's November 23rd.
Yes.
No, just so everybody knows, no show on Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
Okay, so, yeah, just to let everybody know, we're not working on that day, okay? Okay, bye for now, everybody. Enjoy your evening.
Bye-bye.